Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hear the word of God from Mark 16. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Dear friends in Christ, this Easter day is not a day for those who don't care who wins. Today is for those who love challenges, who never give up, who never surrender. Everybody loves a good comeback. The Cinderella sports team, the most dramatic movies, the most inspiring news stories revolve around those who have been beaten down, overwhelmed, and pummeled, and yet somehow they came back to win. If we had kept score, God was behind ever since the devil got Adam and Eve to sin in Genesis 3 and stole the world away, so to speak. The death cry, the spear jab, the limp body, the bloody shroud, the funeral procession, and the tomb announced that Jesus was dead, and that the God whom Jesus preached was either a dead God or no God at all. Since Jesus didn't come down from the cross, he was, no doubt, an imposter, like his enemies claimed he was. Gethsemane, the arrest, the trials, the execution of God's champion, all proclaimed that Jesus had lost. Champagne bottles were being popped in hell, but the demons were celebrating prematurely. As they say, the game isn't over until it's over, and the clock had not yet run out. The game wasn't over until Easter morning. On this day, our champion, Jesus Christ, with glorified scars and an indestructible body, stepped out of his grave to beat the odds. The battle marks still etched in his resurrected body are now the emblems of Christ's victory. In Revelation 5, John looks into heaven and writes, "I saw in heaven a lamb looking as if he had been slain, but now standing before the throne. And all those in heaven sang a new song. You are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God." Jesus's pierced hands, speared side, nailed feet, thorn-crowned brow, battered face, and scourged back are all now warm and pink with new life. And they tell a story that the angels and saints are already celebrating in heaven. Again, Revelation 5. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." The old cliche that it's not about whether you win or lose, but how you play the game, is not true when you're talking about life or death, heaven or hell, resurrection or grave, God or Satan. Rather than popping the champagne, God now pours us a bottomless chalice of his Son's forgiving blood. And our champion, Jesus, actually lets us drink the very blood that conquers our enemies. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his victorious death, until he comes again." And 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory?" We can now mock our enemies in worship, at the communion rail, and at the grave site, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But how exactly did Jesus pull it off? In Matthew 12, Jesus said, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man?" On Good Friday, every devil in hell was lined up against Jesus, and it looked as if they had won. But as they say, looks can be deceiving. The truth is, sin, death, hell, and the devil lost the moment Jesus cried, "It is finished." They just didn't know it until Easter morning. Today, Jesus entered the strong man's devilish house, stripped him of his weapons, burned his propaganda, and robbed him of his ammunition. The devil's all out of ammo, folks. He's just shooting blanks. It's time to call him out on his lies and propaganda and start shooting back with the big guns of Christ's forgiving blood, his saving death, and his victorious resurrection. Luther said, "When the devil holds my sins in my face, I tell him, 'Dear devil, I direct you to Christ. You can accuse and condemn him all you want for dying for me, but that's what he did. And if you have a problem with my being forgiven, that's between you and Jesus, so don't talk to me anymore.'" It's time for us to gag the devil with the good news. "Devil, you got me to sin again, and I'm ashamed of it. But it doesn't mean a thing." "What do you mean it doesn't mean a thing?" the devil howls. "It doesn't mean a thing because you tried to get Christ to sin, and you could never get him to sin, not even once. And God says, 'I'm covered with Christ's righteousness in baptism and through the word.' So unless and until you can bring charges against Christ and make them stick, you cannot bring charges against me and make them stick, for I am dressed in the resurrection of Jesus." Luther said, "The devil came to me one night to charge me with my sins. But when I realized it was the devil, I went back to bed and fell asleep and let him be angry, for I well knew that he could do nothing to me in Christ." On Easter Day, the divine hostage, Jesus Christ, blew the lid off of his own grave, and God's word says death no longer has dominion over him. Jesus prevailed over death and led his holy angels into hell to announce his victory. And then he began reclaiming a world stolen by Satan back for himself. The custodians of hell and the guardians of the grave were blindsided by the light of the risen Christ. The light of Christ's empty tomb has burst into the graves of God's saints, unchaining them from death. That's why, even on that first Easter, God's word said, many saints came out of their tombs and entered into the holy city and appeared to many, announcing that the great resurrection of Christ's holy people has already begun. Things aren't always as they seem, folks. The cross, which told the death of Jesus, actually trumpeted God's victory. The blood that poured out of his body actually won the war when our victor cried, "It is finished." Jesus destroyed death by dying it. Jesus's burial shroud, stained with blood, is now the unfurled banner of our Savior's victory. Today, Jesus shouts into the abyss of hell, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory?" And in deathly defeated silence, there comes no echo of any response, just serpent hisses and demonic growls. On the last day, the grave will give up all of her dead ones. The Bible says both believers and unbelievers will rise. But not all the dead will live forever. On that day, all of the risen will be divided between goats and sheep, chaff and wheat, unbelievers and believers, for Jesus will not force his kingdom on anyone. And sadly, there will always be those who don't want him. On that day, those who do not want their Savior, who treat him as a dead thing, who regard everything as more sure than Jesus, who choose to turn back to the grave and hell of their Christless living, will be able to have what they want, life without God. But what they don't realize is that life without God is hell, from which Christ has already saved us. But know this, and know this well, Christ has rendered hell entirely unnecessary. For anyone to ever have to go to, there's no thrill in knowing the outcome of a contest or a game before it even begins. What makes a contest thrilling is seeing losers win and winners lose. The poorest guy in town inherits a fortune. The kid at the bottom of the class gets the highest score. The school klutz makes the game-winning shot. Outnumbered American colonists turn back British soldiers, and the soldiers have to march past them laying down their weapons. That's what happened on Easter morn. The tables were turned on hell. The enemies of Jesus paraded in front of him, laying down their weapons and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the same God they once cursed. This was not a contest between God's almighty power and Satan's diabolical power. That would have been no contest at all, and Satan would have forever accused God of not playing fair. No, this was a battle between Christ, in the weakness of our human flesh, against the full force of all the devils in hell and an entire world of sinners poised against him. And yet Christ came from behind and settled the score in our favor. He snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. As a result of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus has given you and me a comeback from sin. Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The guilt and power of sin are conquered. Even when I fail, my champion's blood still forgives. 1 Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sin. But Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus mopped up all of our mess-ups at the cross, and as a result, our satanic accuser is now gagged by Jesus' blood. On this day, Jesus has also given us a comeback from death, namely that one can live when one has died. In John 14, Jesus declares, "Because I live, you will live also." Your baptism is your participation in Jesus' death and resurrection, and a dress rehearsal for the day when he will call all of us out of our tombs. Today, you and I are not standing at the entrance to our graves. We are standing at the exit to our graves. Judgment Day is behind us. Our baptism is the first step in our resurrection out of our graves. Spiritually speaking, we've already passed through the valley of the shadow of death, and we're just waiting for our physical bodies to catch up with the spiritual resurrection that is already ours in Jesus. In Christ, we are daily passing out of death into life. Today, you and I have been dealt a trump card. Of all the religions, belief systems, and philosophies in the world, only Christianity can boast that our founder is not dead but alive. And finally, Jesus has given us a comeback from hell. Jesus literally went through hell and high water to save us, and he drank its deadly poison. But now, risen from the dead, Jesus has become hell's anti-venom, so that you and I, in Christ, no longer need to pay for what has already been paid for. With the charges against us nailed to the cross, and now marked paid in full, Satan, that ancient dragon, now chokes on Jesus' forgiving blood. Today has begun the earthquake that will carry us on until the very last day, when the lids of our graves will be ripped from their hinges. Jesus has gone down into our hellish prison to release the hostages, one prisoner at a time. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? I do. Then depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for God's Holy Spirit. Jesus has reclaimed the world for God and disposed of the devil who had enthroned himself as our Lord. On this day, the rafters of heaven are shaking and quaking with angelic roars. The foundations of hell are cracking. The troops storming out of the gates of hell have been ambushed by the risen one. The enemy is everywhere in retreat. Christ has pillaged hell. Satan is bound. Death is conquered. The grave has lost its sting. The temple court curtain is torn in two from top to bottom, granting us access into the Father's family and the Father's home. The saints are streaming out of their graves into the holy city, the New Jerusalem. The gates of paradise are unlocked and hurled open wide. Eden is restored. The tree of life is our food. Noah's ark has survived the flood. Pharaoh and his host have been drowned in the sea. The Passover lamb has been slain, raised from the dead, and is now feasted upon by the conquering troops in the Lord's Supper. God stands in front of his church and leads her through the Red Sea of our baptism. The Jordan is backed up like a heap. The promised land is already being entered. Goliath has been defeated. The fiery furnace has left no burn marks on us. The lion's den have had their mouths shut. The heavenly Jerusalem is in view. The temple destroyed by God's enemies from the day the world began has been raised again on the third day. Today is God's day. His fortunes have been reversed. His enemy is placed in chains. Today is a day for divine bragging and heavenly hysteria over the greatest comeback ever, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of comeback could only have been orchestrated by the God who is more powerful than sin, death, hell, and the grave combined. And all this calls for endless celebration on our part, for what is even better than watching a great comeback on TV is that in Christ, you are actually a participant in the world's greatest comeback. The angels didn't roll away the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. The angels rolled away the stone to let you and me in on the greatest comeback the world has ever received. As John 11 proclaims to you and me, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And this, my friends, is validated, certified, backed up with the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Amen.